What's up, listeners? On this week's pod, a special guest announces Beers Bad Beats Battlestar Galaxy Brain. After a rough weekend as a Falcons fan, Coyne takes a shallow dive into the history of pain. In honor of the recent Emmy Awards, Coyne and I pitch movies as sequels to TV shows. And of course, we'll recap week two in the NFL, give out our best bets for week three, including our Gucci Mane dog picks of the week. Let's do it. That, my friends, is the sound of a couple cold, crisp brews being cracked. And this is the sound of your favorite podcast, The Rookie Show. Welcome to The Rookie Show.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of your gracious hosts, Travis Knoll, joining me as per usual, Elvis Coyne, a.k.a. Bad Luck Brian's dipshit brother.
Pretty much. Seems right.
What up, Coyne?
What up, Knoll?
How should I ask, how are you?
Yeah, so I just want, I have a little blurb written right here. Just let me first start this off by saying that this might be a slightly somber podcast for me. I took some lumps over the last week or so. After writing this whole next section down, I'm realizing that I am in the midst of an incredible bad luck streak. So it's pretty good. Nothing seems to be breaking right, but I'm feeling good about my prospects going forward. You know,
okay,
just back in the positivity lane. We're good.
The green arrow is pointing up. That's what I like to hear.
That's right.
Coyne, let's go ahead and shoot it over to great friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Former Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, TJ Hushmanzada.
Hushmanzode.
Hushmanzode. TJ, who's your mama? Tej, what segment is it time for?
Beers, bad beats, Battlestar Galaxy Brain.
Oh, thanks, Tej.
Thanks, Tej. It is indeed time for Beers, Bad Beats, Battlestar Galaxy Brain. Coyne, why don't you start it off? What are you drinking this evening?
This week, Knoll, I am bringing you a beer from Fort George, the Suicide Squeeze, and it is the Special Edition India Pale Ale. Yeah, it's a nice gold can with a slithery little snake on it, kind of an Aztec-looking snake. And I don't like snakes much, but I do like this can. And the beer is delicious.
It's a slithery snake?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. I'm glad to hear it. I also like the can. I've also got a scary creature on my can, so I guess that's the theme of the day.
Ooh, spooky. We're almost into spooky season.
I'm drinking a Rogue Bat Squatch.
Oh, that's Rogues from Portland.
Yeah. Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Sweet. Well, it's the Bat Squatch. A mix, half bat, half Sasquatch.
Of course.
Half pig. It is, believe it or not, a hazy India Pale Ale. We don't drink a lot of those here.
No.
And it is quite lovely. It's a very good beer. I'm very much enjoying it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear it. I love the Bat Squatch can. I remember, I'm very big when I go to breweries. We've talked about this. When I can't see the can in the store, I like to pick a based on name. And Bat Squatch is one of those ones you're like, oh, tell me more.
You're like, yes. And I like at the top of the can, it says, dedicated to the legend.
The legendary Bat Squatch, of course, of Multnomah County.
And the description, there's a lot of, like, puns and stuff. It's good. It's actually not good enough to read, so I'll leave it at that.
Right.
Coyne, what else beer-related do you have for me this week?
I had a decent beer-related weekend, so I had some beers. I took your lead, and I had some beers and played mini-golf on Friday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I would say that the course was a bit lacking. It looks like they went all in on the decorating of the venue, and it was indoors, so we did have to mask up the whole time, which meh.
Right.
And then the holes, kind of frustrating. Not many of them hole in one possible. Like you just kind of turn a lot. So even though the beers were lukewarm that I bought there, they were still delicious, and I was doing something while drinking beer, so it was great. I did also get my ass kicked in mini golf and had to buy all of said beers. So
by who?
By my girlfriend and roommate, Joe, both listeners. Shouts.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so Nikki actually did have the only hole-in-one on the day.
Shouts, Nikki. Well done.
Hey, Nikki.
She's been kind of kicking my ass and everything lately. It's been great. I really, really love it. Very happy for her.
You know that, you know that I can relate to that. When we did Noel's Holes a few weeks ago, that was one of my biggest criticisms of one of the more elaborate courses, was that, yes, it's like nearly impossible to get holes in one. It's like, I want it to be hard, but I want it to be feasible.
Right, exactly. And that's like, this course is, it's just wall with like a cage, and then there's no possible way to even hit the ball hard enough against one of the walls and bounce five times towards the hole. I was like,
right.
It's not a possible thing to do.
Right. What's the point? Just give me a real small hole I got to hit it in that's really hard.
Great. Even better. Right. Yeah.
Love
yeah,
that. Yeah. Okay.
And then also at the risk of being hashtag canceled, I did attend a birthday party on Saturday night.
Oh no.
And it was a small, it was like 15-ish people probably.
Okay.
In a house. We were just playing games, listening to music, but at one point we definitely were playing Rage Cage, and I was like, this is probably how Corona started. It's not the bat thing. It's probably Rage Cage, but for a night, things seemed kind of normal, and it was really nice.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. And no symptoms.
No symptoms. Good. After the smoke is gone, my cough is very much dissipating very quickly. It's nice.
Yeah, you were sounding rough on last week's podcast.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling great. Tell me about your beers, Noel. What do you got?
My beers, we had some friends in town, Katie's friend from high school and her boyfriend, so we did some fun stuff. We're drinking basically Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I had a delicious $4 Bud Light at a Thai restaurant that really hit the spot.
Mm.
Also had a nice cucumber-flavored gin cocktail on Saturday morning.
Delicious.
It was delicious. But the most notable beer-related event of my weekend was... Saturday before we went kayaking on the Chicago River, actually, we were drinking beers and playing cards and actually playing the game called golf, a card game that we've played before, I believe. It's called that. Really, the only reason it relates to golf is because you try to get the lowest score as opposed to the highest score.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the best game of golf in the history of golf.
Okay.
Second place ended the We played nine holes. Ended the nine holes with 35 points.
Mm-hmm.
That was second place, and I had a minus 22.
Okay. That's
pretty
consistent. It's good.
You don't have to know the scoring system to know that that's an ass beating. So
yeah,
I enjoyed the
good
beers.
For you. Yeah, was it just lucky as hell, like every turn or what?
Yeah. Every
single card. You're hot as fuck right now. You're like, all of my luck has just been thrown onto you.
I'm exuding luck right now. Yes. Agreed.
Couldn't be happier for you, man.
Let's go to the other side of this other side of the spectrum, and let's hear about some bad beats. In fact, before we get to your bad beat, I'm just gonna give you the mic. I don't even have a bad beat for this week. I assume I know what you're going to talk about.
Right. So the baddest of all bad beats, of course, was the Falcons losing on Sunday. And I'll get to that in a minute when we recap Sunday a little bit more. But I will touch on my gambling bad beat.
Okay.
Before that, though, after that Falcons loss, to cheer me up, Nikki challenged me to a game of cribbage. Where for seemingly the 10th time in the last 2 weeks, I was yet again skunked. Been a skunk fest. I've probably only been not skunked once in the last 10 times I've played cribbage. It's ridiculous. Oh, I don't understand what is happening. I cannot catch a break.
I don't know. You gave me all your powers, Monstar style, I guess.
Oh my god. Also, so going after just a debilitating loss on Sunday, like I was really down in the dumps.
Brutal.
For those of you that didn't know, the Falcons were up 20-0 early in the first quarter, didn't turn the ball over at all, scored 39 points in the game, in control the entire way, and then up by 15 with 4.5 minutes left, give up a touchdown, give up the worst onside kick I've ever seen in my entire life, like five Falcons, like the still frame of the five Falcons standing around and looking at the ball and all shitting their pants is going to haunt me. Man went ahead and just gave up the game-winning field goal as time expired. I didn't even know what to say. But not even in my defense, I turned to Graham when we were up 20-0, and I was like, oh, this loss is going to hurt. I can tell.
Right.
And only, not even half joking, like, I kind of figured we would blow it. I thought it would be sooner in the game than that, but my God, man, it is, it's not great. So go on.
I took a screenshot. Graham sent a snap of you with your face in your hands after the game, and I took a nice screenshot of it, and it's perfect. I really need to make the meme of just pain behind it. You see that all the time. It's perfect. Hopefully I can manage to do that for the account.
So other bad beat was the Saints. So to try to salvage my weekend, of course, we're gambling. I had taken some lumps on Sunday, but I wasn't down that bad. I actually, since all the favorites were winning, I had a bunch of money line parlays that were kind of killing it. Multiple that were 8.5 to 1 and 7.5 to 1. And the Saints were the final leg on both of those to save me from the weekend. Basically, I was either going to be up 87 bucks on the weekend or be down 65 or 70, whatever it was. And so even just a win gets it done, and I'm pretty much even on the weekend. And after going up 10-0, Drew Brees poopied his pants and decided that the universe wasn't done with me yet. Right. So not only did the Falcons lose and I lost my bets, I needed the Saints, now number one wideout, to just have a decent game.
Right.
Just a decent game, not even a great game.
Yeah.
To win in our fantasy league. And he decided that he did not even want to catch a pass until there was 1 minute left in the game. And he caught one pass for like 6 yards. So that's it. I lost the game. I lost the bets. I lost in fantasy. I'm just a big old loser.
Big loser. You're going to turn the corner here. That's it. If this has got to happen in week 2, and now you're just shooting to the stars.
Thanks, man. I appreciate your upbeatness. I really hope that anybody listening, if you thought you had it bad, I'm here with you. And if you didn't, I hope you get to get some enjoyment out of my sadness. Right. It's great.
Good.
I don't wallow for long, though. I pick myself up, and we're right back at it.
Yeah, well, we're going to wallow some more a little bit later in the podcast.
Oh, but great.
For now, let's get to Battlestar Galaxy Brain.
One people are clamoring about.
They're clamoring about it. I'll go first. Mine's a little simple, but it's here's my take here. So the regular take, I've been thinking about the last round of the NBA playoffs, Nuggets versus Clippers.
Right.
The regular take, the Nuggets were better than the Clippers, and therefore they beat the Clippers. That's why they won. They were the better team. That's the regular take. Second level take, the NBA, the powers that be, they knew that the Lakers couldn't beat the Clippers.
Right.
And it's better for them if LeBron's in the finals. They're like, we have to do something. We're going to rig it so that the Nuggets beat the Clippers, and we don't even have to worry about Kawhi beating LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it. Reasonable.
Yeah.
The Galaxy Brain take, the one I subscribe to, is that the basketball gods would simply not allow the most trash uniforms in the league to defeat possibly the most Fire Flames uniforms in the league in a playoff series. And therefore, the Clippers will never win an NBA title as long as they rock those stupid-ass San Andreas uniforms.
Not only will they not win an NBA title, they won't even make the conference finals.
They will never make the conference finals unless they change those damn uniforms.
San Andreas uniforms are disgusting.
They're so bad. Even if they keep, I think they have a shot if they just get rid of those and keep their other like semi-trash uniforms. Those ones just have to go. Now, the counter to that is that the Cleveland Cavaliers won in black sleeved jerseys. Maybe my theory is totally moot, but or maybe LeBron, counteracts.
LeBron is so good. That's the next level Galaxy Brain, is that LeBron is so good that he transcends the jersey curse.
LeBron is one of the basketball gods, so he has a vote. He's on the dais. Is that the correct word?
I don't know.
I use a lot of words incorrectly on the pod.
On the dais.
I really like that. Okay, Coin, give me your Galaxy Brain of the week.
All right. So, Noel, this came to me as I was staring at the pile of clothes on my bed behind me. Mm-hmm. So, normal brain is just washing your clothes and then putting them right away when you're done to avoid wrinkles. Big brain is taking your clothes out of the dryer and then tossing them onto your bed or the room chair that you have to deal with them at a later date. Bonus points if you have to take the clothes off of your bed, put them onto your chair so you can go to bed. and then put them back onto your bed the next day to do laundry. That's good stuff.
I am a big room chair guy, although yeah. mine never go to the bed. But
okay, well, the bed's just a great place to like be able to sort everything and then fold.
Okay, I'll tell you after you finish your take what I do.
Okay, Galaxy Brain. So this is just a three-parter. Galaxy Brain. Inventing a time machine so that I am able to introduce Xi Tianxi, who invented the money/coin sorting machine, and Alva John Fisher, who invented the electric washer dryer, and having them create a third machine that you just toss your clothes into and it sorts and folds everything for you. I'm not sure how this hasn't happened yet and why it isn't already a thing. It is possible that I am the smartest person alive.
You lost me with the going back to get those inventors, but definitely I'm all over the clothes sorting and folding machine.
I'm just thinking of like a giant Coinstar machine where you just flop your clothes into the top.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly get any dumber with the Saku invention, you go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself. Yes. Why has that not been invented?
I don't know.
That's a technology that
it shouldn't be that hard, right?
No.
Definitely. I mean, even if they were like, all right, you could only wash like one style of things at once, then you just push the button on the one machine. It's like, bang, you flop them all in. All your t-shirts are folded neatly. Or there's like an extra function where you just throw a bunch of hangers on there and it just slip slides them each in one of my one.
A hanger slip slider?
Hanger slip slider, just like that. So
that would be fantastic.
Not only was this the Galaxy Brain meme, but it was also the confluence of the epic handshake meme with Xi Tianxi and Alva John Fisher, just so you're aware. Yeah.
Yeah, shouts to the Xi Tianxi and the other guy.
Alva John Fisher, yeah.
Right. It's not very interesting, but I tend to get my laundry, bring it up to the living room, dump it on the floor of the living room while I'm watching TV, and lay all the shirts on my computer chair.
Okay.
So they don't wrinkle. And then I roll my computer chair into my closet where I then hang them from there. Your thoughts?
I like the method. It's the same method as me doing my clothes, except right. I just toss them all on the bed and then I sort them like by t-shirts,
yes,
shorts, and all the other stuff. And then I finally put them away.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, maybe we can get a company to sponsor us and then build
I would love to be the prototype for one of these.
All right, Coin. It is time for one of our listeners' favorite segments. I can't imagine they remember that this is even a segment, but let's give it a shot. Coin's Shallow Dives.
Shallow Dives, of course, where I will be looking into something and possibly just using one source. That is my shallow dive. Not a deep dive. I'm not giving you all the information. Just a little bit. Just to dip your toe in.
I'd like you to enlighten me, Coin. What is this week's shallow dive?
This week, Noel, to continue the somber mood, we are going to be shallow diving on pain.
Oh, pain. Okay.
Pain.
The feeling.
So, Noel, in 1940, James D. Hardy, Harold G. Wolf, and Helen Goodell of Cornell, ever heard of it, introduced the first dolorimeter as a method for evaluating the effectiveness of analgesic pain-relieving medications. By the way, dolor is pain in Spanish, FYI.
Oh.
The work was conducted at New York Hospital, and they basically focused a heat lamp at a section of skin on people. They found that pain generally started at 113 degrees Fahrenheit, and after it hit 152 degrees Fahrenheit, the pain no longer intensified. They developed the Hardy-Wolf-Gooden scale, cool name, not, with 10 gradations or doles. There's been a lot of scrutiny about this scale's effectiveness, and many others have attempted their own way to measure pain. In 1945, Cleveland's Dr. Laurent Julius Bela Gluzek had developed a dolorimeter that measured pain in grams and claimed it to be 97% accurate. Time magazine, I think, gave her one of the awards. Not person of the year, but they wrote about her and gave her little daps and stuff. It was good. Decent broad of the year. I think it's Laurent. I don't really know.
Laurent.
Might be a guy. I don't really know. There have also been ways to measure pain using palpation, so like beats against your skin to test for sensitivity, and lasers for heat to elicit a pain response. For now, though, the most basic way to measure pain is a numeric rating scale from 0 to 10 based solely on the ability to perform activities of daily living. The scale is as follows. 0, no pain. 1 to 3, mild pain, nagging, annoying, interfering with little of your daily activities. Moderate pain, interferes significantly with your daily activities. And 7 to 10, severe pain, disabling, unable to perform daily activities. So this would be like your late bed rest chemotherapy in cancer patients.
Sure, of course.
This is how we measure outside boo-boos. At this point, there is no way to measure inside boo-boos, but I can tell you, based on this pain chart, that the pain I felt after the Falcons' collapse in the Super Bowl was an 11, and this weekend's was about a 9.
So maybe we can call this the null coin scale?
The null coin scale. That might be the way to do it. because yours is good, and then mine is the bad part. That makes even more sense.
Wait, so is it go to 0 to 10, null the coin? Okay, got it. All right, the null coin scale measures internal boo-boos. Or like
internal boo-boos, specifically sports-based.
So like a 0 to 3 would be like, I've won $350 in 2 weeks gambling on the NFL.
Right. I would actually put that at a 0.
Definitely, a 0, right.
Possibly
okay,
going
zero.
Into the positives.
Right,
like a, exactly. You're like in a -6 right now.
Exactly. Okay. And then a 9 is my team blew an insurmountable lead and cost me a lot of money as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That was a nice shallow dive.
That was a shallow dive on pain.
That was sad. This is a somber podcast.
We'll turn it around here in a minute.
All right, we'll turn it around. Let's talk briefly about week 2 in the NFL. Your team 0-2, my team 1-1. Your stat that you brought up to me here, the NFC East and the NFC South are both 2-6 overall on the year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
The two worst divisions?
Two worst divisions, apparently. I mean, it felt like before the season, there was basically no question that the NFC East was the worst division in football. But it did seem like everybody was like, man, that NFC South is frisky. They're probably going to be rivaling, not rivaling the NFC West or... probably just the NFC West as best division in football. But you thought at least the three teams would be basically competitive with everybody. And they won 2 games overall, so...
It's not great. And one of them was against each other.
Yeah, one of them was against each other, yeah.
Is there any thought on abandoning the Falcons as your favorite team?
So I brought this up to you the other day that there was a point on Sunday when I was like, I don't know if I can do it anymore. It's a lot of hurt, and going through this year after year really sucks. But what you have to remember as a sports fan is that the second you abandon, you can never come back. Like, there's no point in the future. Like, if I abandoned this team and just became a Seahawks fan, it would be great, and I would probably be happier and win some more. But if the Seahawks or the Falcons won a Super Bowl, I couldn't claim that. I couldn't be happy for that team anymore.
That's an incredible point. You hit it right on the head. I think that pain might be even greater to know that you abandoned the team and then they went on to win it.
Oh, that would hurt so much worse.
It would be maybe the worst. So it's really just hard. I've thought about it. I mean, I know the Falcons have had more devastating losses by far than the former Skins, the ex-Skins, we should call them.
The FedEx Skins
Field. The FedEx Skins Field. But my team's just been putrid for much of my lifetime. So that's equally... reason to maybe try to give up on your team. I just don't think I can.
I don't think I could either. I did. On that note, though, I brought this up to you the other day as well. I think I honestly would rather just have been bad for 20 years than to have any small amount of hope to just have it ripped away from you, like, year after year. Hurts so bad. It's so shitty. Like, these last... It's probably been since like 2011. We've had good year or bad years in there where I was like, okay, at least I know we're like 4-12. We're not a good team. But it all started with like we were like 12-4 in 2011 and then tried to blow 2 leads in the playoffs and then did blow a lead to the Niners in the NFC Championship. And then we were really good in 2016 and blew the lead in the Super Bowl. And then these last 3 years have just been like, oh, the Falcons, they're up and coming. They're frisky. They're not frisky. They're not frisky at all. They just want you to think they are. They let you have that first half, and you're like, oh, man, this is kind of fun. Like, this team is fun to root for. But it's not fun at all.
It's not fun. And with that, let's stop talking about our shitty teams.
Yes.
And briefly, we're going to give three things that piqued our interest about week two. Go ahead, give me one coin.
Okay. I will give this. This is my hopeful part of the podcast.
Okay.
So for Chargers fans, shouts Mac. Justin Herbert doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he looked really good in his debut. He passed for 311 and a tug and had a rushing touchdown. Sure, he had threw a really costly pick, but he went toe-to-toe with the reigning champs, and he looked like he belonged on the field.
And naturally, Anthony Lynn says, Tyrod's our starter.
Yeah, not great look by Anthony Lynn. I don't know how many more times he says that and still retains his job.
He may be in for a rude awakening.
Yeath.
All right, my first thing. This is a little bit long, but I decided that 2 weeks is enough for me to change my stance on a team that I thought might be good before the season, and now I'm ready to admit that they're not good. I have two main examples. The Eagles, I thought, would be at least frisky. The Eagles aren't good. I'm pretty positive the Eagles aren't good. I don't know if Wentz just isn't good, but I watched them play my team, and I watched them play a lot of the Rams. I just don't think they're a good team. I don't think they're going to have a winning record. More importantly, though, the Minnesota Vikings, you were very high on them going into the year. I thought they would be probably a playoff team. I don't think they're good. I think they're a bad team. Kirk Cousins, this is what I'm really getting at. Kirk Cousins' stat line, 11 for 26, 113 yards, no tugs, three picks, a quarterback rating of nine.
Nine? You say so, nine?
Yeah, there weren't more syllables in there. It wasn't 90. It wasn't 19. It was nine.
Nine?
Yeah, but most importantly, fantasy points. Kirk Cousins had negative 1.6 fantasy
no
points.
No way!
And this was my point that I wanted to make here. There's something really, really funny to me about a guy finishing a week with negative fantasy points. Because, like, if you think about it, if somebody started Kirk Cousins in fantasy football, that person could have started literally any other player in the league and they would have done better. Not only that, you could have started any player in any league. You could have started any person in the history of the world on your fantasy football team and they would have scored you more points than Kirk Cousins.
And that's right, that folks. Very funny. Noel and I both. The Rookie Show podcast had a better fantasy week than Kirk Cousins did.
I thought about listing all the people that just randomly had more points than Kirk Cousins, but it's infinite. It's every
it's
person.
It's an infinite number.
Jamal Murray had more fantasy football points. The guy driving that boat out there, more than Kirk Cousins. Abraham Lincoln had more points than Kirk Cousins this weekend. So
that's if I had what the time, I was going to right now go look at all the negative fantasy days that have ever happened. I'm sure there's
lots. And actually, I kind of lied because there was one guy who scored fewer points than Kirk Cousins this week, and it was Benny Snell Jr. He had like two carries for one fumble. He had like minus two, I think so.
Oh, no.
So Kirk Cousins, you didn't do that bad. All right. Anyway, that was kind of long, but the point was Vikings and Eagles not good. So go for number two.
No, you're totally right on that. Really quick is just, I'm ready to say I was wrong. The Vikings are not gooned.
Right,
they are, in fact, not gooned.
Viking, none gooned.
No. My next one is DK Metcalf, an actual threat.
Mm.
I thought that DK would be a bust, admittedly. He's running actual routes now and not just needing to burn people by 4 to 5 yards to catch a ball. The way he got on top of Gilmore on that deep ball from Russ and put his body into perfect position was a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
That's really difficult to do. He still drops his passes, but he looks like he's really finding his place in the Hawks offense, and he's like a legitimate receiver.
Him and Lockett, that combo is just so perfect for Russ. Like, it's
right.
So fun.
Russ couldn't have like a real number one. It has to be this scrappy bunch.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Agreed. Number two, I got to mention it because it was a story of the week. Injuries were absurd. But I just want to get your thoughts on it. So Saquon, Garoppolo, Mostert, all these guys went down. Nick Bosa. A lot of people are saying it's because they didn't have training camp and the lack of training and all that jazz. Do you agree with that? Do you buy that? Because my first thought is like, okay, well, why didn't a bunch of people get hurt in week one? Why is it all of a sudden week two?
Right. I guess the argument there would be like they had their contact stuff and now their bodies are like banged up and they're starting to feel it. But I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it's because of that.
I think it's a bit of a coincidence that all these guys got hurt this week.
It is weird that, like, I guess the Giants didn't play at the Meadowlands, right? They play at Soldier?
Yes, they did. No, they played at home, I think. Oh, no, they did play at Soldier Field. You're right.
Right? Because the Jets, the Niners played in New York.
Right.
I will say, though, that we did talk about last week that the Giants O-line might be a problem, would probably eventually lead to Saquon getting hurt again.
We did say that, yep. Although the play
I do think it's a coincidence. It is weird. I've never seen a slew of injuries like this.
Pretty sad.
I saw this morning on ESPN, though, they were talking about, like, all the soft tissue injuries, and they were talking about how ACLs were technically soft tissue. I'm like, comparing people pulling their hamstrings to people tearing their ACLs,
right,
those are not correlated things.
Right.
You can't really do that.
No. Definitely not.
No.
Okay, what else you got?
All right. My last one is things to watch is us. The Giants receivers, sadly, Devontae Adams, out for a little bit, but that means we get to hear the name Alan Lazard back on our TVs more.
Alan Lazard.
That means Scott Hansen is going to be saying the name Alan Lazard scoring touchdowns. I'm excited, not excited, but interested to see what Rodgers does with another banged up core. This kind of like Russ has right now, just a scrappy group of receivers. He's got MVS and Lazard and...
Is Adams out? I didn't know that.
I think he's out for a couple weeks.
I think you said Giants also, so I was a bit confused.
Did I?
I think you were thinking of Saquon, because you said the Giants receivers, Adams. Oh, I'm like, what?
I meant Packers.
Got it, Packers. Okay. Alan Lazard, a big fan. My last thing was, I got to give props to the Sunday night game, not Falcons. Seahawks-Patriots was just an effing awesome game. Like, on top of Cam Newton balling and, like, looking every bit as good as he ever has. Like, even passing. Some of those passes were awesome.
Russ, he's hucking right now.
He's hucking. Russ playing, like, the MVP, best player in the league right now. And I don't ever remember a game ending like that where it's, like, timeout with 2 seconds left on the one-yard line, down by five. And literally the announcers, the fans at home, and everyone in the stadium knew what play the Patriots were going to run for the game-winning play. And just the anticipation of it was, like, so palpable. And it was so exciting because everyone's like, here it is. It's like man on man. Who's going to win this game on this one play? And I personally thought it was the right call. Like, I don't care that they knew.
Agree.
You've been dominating. I love the call. And I just thought it was an awesome game. I didn't have any money on it. I didn't really care who won. Suddenly rooting for the Patriots now because I love Cam. But my one biggest thought was, can you imagine how rowdy that stadium would have been if it was full of fans on that last play?
Knowing that Cam was on the Patriots, I would have been at that game. I think that was in the end zone in front of our seats, too.
That would have been the rowdiest stadium.
Oh, my God. I'd have been losing my shit. As a huge Seahawks fan, you know, I'd have been going crazy.
We're both.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was the right call, too. Part of me right before that was, you know, thinking you do the sprint out because they think he's going to run and you just do, like, little pop pass over the top to, like, the third tight end that, like, leaks out from the other side or whatever.
Yeah.
But nobody has been able to stop that play yet. Why go against it?
No.
Even if they know it's coming, they knew it was coming the other times. What does it matter?
Yeah, I think if all the Patriots make their, you know, assignments on the block, so he gets in. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before one last football thing I wanted to do, I don't know why I wanted to do it now as opposed to later. I just do. Thursday night football, Miami versus Jacksonville. So Coyne and I typically on these Thursday night games like to do a little teaser on one of the teams, either the over or the under. In honor of that, I'd like to start calling it TNF. Teaser night football.
Oh, that's great. That's genius.
That's
great. Love
that. And I think we need to pick a tease, a two-team tease on the single Thursday night game every week.
I'm in on that. Do you have one in mind already?
I don't know. We need to decide. It's Miami is 3-point dogs at Jacksonville, and the total is 48.
Jacksonville putting up points right now.
Minshew
mania.
Minshew's good.
Yeah.
He's legit. Would I tweet Dwayne Haskins is what I was going to say. Would I tweet Dwayne Haskins for Gardner Minshew right now? Probably.
Really? Would you?
I still have faith in Dwayne, but he just hasn't done anything in 2 weeks. He hasn't made any bad mistakes, but he's just been so dink and dunk and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, back to the point at hand. So are we saying we want to tease Minshew up to -3 at home? I mean, sorry, up to +3?
I kind of want to tease the Dolphins.
We like Fitzmagic?
I kind of do.
I think you're right. I think Jacksonville still has a bad roster. I think they've showed some moxie. And I think Miami's got some dudes. And Thursday night games are weird. So
Thursday night games are weird.
I'm in on Miami up to +9 or whatever, maybe +10. I don't know if we want a six or a seven.
I think it's the over still, though.
And we like over?
I like the over.
Fitzmagic and Minshew putting on a show.
Yeah, baby.
All right, so we are going to tease Miami up to +9 and the over 42.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of Miami, listeners of the Rookie Show, pretty sure that Mike Gesicki was like the second or third tight end in fantasy this week. Just saying.
Okay. Shouts to you for calling that. Yeah. I don't even remember who I preached, but anywho. All right, Coin. Let's get to our non-sports segment here. I don't know if you know, but the Emmys took place this past weekend.
They did indeed, and of course we love Hollywood awards shows and stuff.
We do. We both watched it vehemently. We didn't watch the Sunday Night Football or the Lakers game. We watched the Emmys instead.
Right.
But in honor of one of the best TV shows of all time, Breaking Bad, and the odd little sequel movie they made to it called El Camino. I don't know if you know about this.
I do.
We decided it would be fun if we took some famous TV shows and pitched an idea for a sequel movie to said TV shows. Is that right?
That's correct.
Anything else to add before we dive into it?
Just quickly on El Camino, I thought it was cool. They didn't try to revise anything from the show, and I liked that they didn't try to remake parts of the show. They just were like, I know we left part of it open-ended. Like, this guy's life was in shambles, and we kind of wanted to show you that. I'm not necessarily saying that this is what that's going to be. I just thought that was cool. Okay. And then one note before we start is that I Googled best TV shows of the last 20 years just to kind of gauge where we were at.
Of course.
And number one on the IMDb list, do you want to guess what it was?
I'm going to say it was Game of Thrones.
No. Malcolm in the Middle.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
It was Frankie the first Muniz. One listed. I don't know why. I have no idea why. It was Malcolm in the
strange.
Middle.
Very strange. Okay. So that's what you picked then?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
No, I did not. Do you want me to go first or you?
Up to you. You tell me. It's your idea.
I'm really excited about yours. I'll do mine really quick.
Okay.
All right. So... I settled on a comedy show. So the show I picked was Community. I don't know if you've watched much.
I've seen some. I don't know it that well, but okay.
I think Community has a pretty decent little cult following.
Okay.
And a diverse enough cast that I think it would be fun to twist off into like its own different direction.
Okay.
So first off in the setting, we're back in Greendale, baby. We got all the characters. We got Jeff Winger, who is Joel McHale, Annie Edison, Allison Brie, Troy Barnes, who is Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, Britta Perry, Abed Nadir, Pierce Hawthorne, who is Chevy Chase, Ben Chang, Ken Jeong, and then Dean Pelton, Star Burns, Jack Black returns with a little cameo as Buddy, John Goodman. It's such, they got some star power. A lot of these guys actually ended up getting decently big and doing some stuff after the show.
Okay.
So, I'm just going to give you my plot.
Give me your plot, yeah.
All right. So, the movie gets dark immediately. As we see Joel McHale, it's Jeff Winger, looking very tattered and frantic, sprinting through a parking lot. He gets to his car and he breathes a sigh of relief, opens his door, then loud bang, cut to black. We see each of the characters, Britta, Pierce, Shirley, and Troy and Abed, who are watching together, see the news come up that Jeff has now been missing for 72 hours. The story is high profile because he's now the lead prosecutor against Pierce's company, Hawthorne Wipes, as they are under investigation on massive stock manipulation and fraud. Troy and Abed immediately go into response mode and form sort of a Holmes and Watson-esque duo. It is a point of contention throughout the movie, though, that Troy refuses to accept the role of Watson and frequently incorrectly interjects into important sleuth work. They call all of the old study group to ask if they've seen the news and get suspicious reactions from all of them, most notably Pierce, because of the court case. They immediately start investigating Pierce and uncovering everything about his life. When it feels like they've finally pinned him down, Jeff is found naked and afraid in a town 30 miles away.
Whoa.
They then he drops the case and refuses to speak to anyone, but Troy and Abed keep digging. They then realize by his frantic actions that Jeff must have been kidnapped by a jilted lover and turn suspicion immediately over to Annie and Britta, only to finally uncover the suspect hiding in plain sight. Do you want to know who it was?
I do want to know who it was.
In a very Silence of the Lambs type scenario, it was Dean Craig Pelton who had kidnapped Jeff Winger.
Wow, okay. And is there a name for this movie?
A Community Broken.
Oh.
Yeah, you like that?
I do like that.
I definitely had that planned and did not come up with it right now.
I think I really appreciate the attention to detail you went on that. And I don't have as much background on the show as I would like. But for those of you who stand Community, let us know if you think that that's a good
idea. Let us know if you're interested in seeing it. This is undeniably a straight-to-Netflix movie.
Okay, straight to Netflix. Okay, that was going to be the other question.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is really not in the form of El Camino whatsoever. It's just
perfect.
It's just a spinoff. So I also picked a comedy show, and I went with my personal favorite, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So I'll set the stage for you here. The setting is Philadelphia, and it is the year 2020. The coronavirus has largely shut down local businesses. On top of the extensive damage done by the rioters during the social justice protests, Patty's Pub has to close down, sadly. So each member of the gang is left with no choice but to find work somewhere else. So to start it off, Dennis, he decides he's going to be an Uber driver in his nice green Range Rover. But he can't seem to understand why his ratings are so low, considering he allows his riders to listen to his audio sex tapes the whole time. Mac, one day is out playing pickup basketball in Philly, and who shows up but Joel Embiid. And starts swatting people, playing around with the people like he likes to do. They become friends, and Mac talks Embiid into letting him become his personal bodyguard. Then Joel invites Mac to the bubble as his personal bodyguard. Mac ends up in the NBA bubble and is caught sneaking out of one of the players' rooms one night. And a big scandal comes out, the first active gay NBA player. That's a side plot on the TV show. I mean, the movie. D decides to join one of those TikTok houses. Her intent is to go viral with some of her made-up characters, such as Crazy Patty, Martina Martinez, and Taiwan Tammy. Unfortunately, she goes viral for a different reason. All the other TikTokers in the house are just taking videos, making fun of her, and calling her a bird. Next, Frank decides he's going to run for president. Despite being a diehard Republican, he decides he's going to run for the Democratic nomination. And his strategy,
reverse Trump.
A little reverse Trump. He's literally going to act exactly like Trump, but have the exact opposite quote-unquote policies. And he, I haven't decided if he's successful or not in his attempt. I'm gonna say probably not.
Probably not, but I would love to see him in office. I imagine it's a very Bill Clinton-esque Monica Lewinsky situation.
Yes. Ensuing,
but it's probably with what's her name?
Artemis,
thank you.
And lastly, the main plot of the story, Charlie. So Charlie comes up with a great scheme. He is going to go purposely get the coronavirus. Then he'll recover, and then he'll be able to sell his blood for the antibodies, and then he won't have to get a job because he'll just be able to sell that blood. But no matter how hard he tries and how many sick people he exposes himself to, he can't seem to catch the virus. After some tests, the doctors at the local Philly hospital make an extraordinary discovery. Charlie's blood contains a built-in immunity to the coronavirus. After further analysis, the scientists discover that the combination of the consumption of an astounding amount of alcohol, LSD, anabolic steroids, glue, poppers, cocaine, spray paint, huffing gasoline, and an exposure to an unfathomable amount of cleaning product chemicals is the key to the coronavirus vaccine. In exchange for allowing them to do unlimited tests on his blood and his body, Charlie is paid handsomely, and he reopens Patty's Pub and gets the gang back together. The end.
Beautiful. What a comeback story.
Yeah, it was Charlie saves the day. I don't have a name. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The movie.
The movie. That's a great, great name.
Man. Yeah, I just thought of it just now. I just came to me. And it's coming to Hulu. Hulu Live.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
Right. Yeah. And that's where
worst platform in the world. Like, just it truly sucks. A shit platform.
Hey, but Hulu, you suck.
You do suck. Unless you want to sponsor the podcast, then whatever.
Hulu has live sports. I'll say that.
Hulu does have live sports.
So please look forward to Community Broken. Is it A Community Broken?
A Community Broken, yeah.
A Community Broken. That's a much
Do you think? Comment. I feel like yours would best be shot like Vantage Point style.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if it makes sense. Do they go back and forth between the stories, or they just show one entire story and go to the next one, go to the next one?
I feel like they got to go back and forth between them, because there has to be like a reunion at some point at the end, right?
Right. Okay. We'll probably think of a better title for it before we release it on Hulu.
And I was trying to think of something quarantine related with the...
They already have an episode called The Gang Gets Quarantined, so...
Yeah.
Always Sunny and... 2020. Kind of rhymes.
Always Sunny in the Bubble?
Always Sunny in the Bubble.
There we go.
Coin. It's a new week.
Time to redeem myself.
Time to redeem yourself. It's time for some week three bets. Briefly, let's let the people know how our bets from last week did. I will let them know first that my picks were the Rams, easy money. I also picked the over in the Bucks-Panthers game, which... technically was 48.5 when I said it on the pod, but it was only down to 47 when I bet it, so I won, but my bet on the pod technically lost. My other bet I liked was 49ers -7, which was super duper easy money. I gave out a teaser that one, and the waft on top parlay of all the NFC East teams losing was hosed by the Falcons.
Of course it was.
Give me your recap.
But you could have bet the points on that one. The Falcons did, in fact, cover.
The Falcons did cover, true.
All right, so my bets. The Chiefs did, in fact, not cover 8.5 points. They did win, so a tease would have gotten you there.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings, in fact, scored no points, and the over did not hit in that game.
Right.
And then my final one was the same as yours. The Niners smashed the Jets, and until garbage time touchdown, were up by 25. So they fell short, just short of the 27 that I predicted, and somehow Adam Gase still has a job.
Right. That's too bad. Yeah, it would have been a great prediction.
Yeah.
Maybe week three.
Maybe week three. Okay. Hopefully Dan Quinn also gets fired.
So we're going to get to the three picks we like. I have one last comment. Is I'd like to revive an old segment, or not really a segment, but an old thing.
Yeah.
I'd like to choose the Basilisk Game of the Week.
Oh, is this the one we hate watching?
The for those of you who don't recall, we called it the Basilisk Game of the Week. If you're a Harry Potter fan, you're aware that if you look directly at a basilisk, you will be killed. And if you look at it indirectly, you'll be like frozen. Not good. Basically, you want to avert your eyes at all time from the basilisk. And that's how we feel about some football games. We don't even want to glance at it. We don't even want to catch it in the side of our eye. It's just a shit game, and we want to keep it away from our lives. I know I'm throwing this on you now, so I'll tell you my pick. Most people would probably go with the Thursday night game, which is a very reasonable choice. I disagree.
I'm interested.
Oddly enough, I'm going to go with the Niners at Giants, and here's why. Everyone's hurt. No Saquon Barkley, no Nick Bosa, no Jimmy G. It's going to be Nick Mullins versus Daniel Jones. San Fran has a good D. It's probably going to be low scoring. I just think it's going to be an ugly game. I want no part of it.
Okay, okay, okay. I think that I am going to make my Basilisk game of the week the Buccaneers at the Broncos. Oh. I have no interest in seeing a Tom Brady-led team play a team without a quarterback
right.
in Mile High Stadium.
Okay.
I just don't think it's going to be a very good game.
I could get behind that. I'd like to be on the record and say, like, I'm over the whole Brady thing.
That's not it. I just don't think it's going to be a good game.
No, fair enough. I'm just saying, I just think Brady on the Bucks is like the 15th best storyline at this point. It's just
true.
No, it's
true.
In the back of my mind right now. I care about a lot of other things.
Fair. Totally fair.
Do we have to agree on it, or can we have our own Basilisk game?
Yeah, I'll just defer to you. I like your Basilisk game.
Okay. Thank you. Now let's get to the actual picks.
Okay.
So
especially a Niners team without Bosa and without Solomon Thomas and possibly without Garoppolo
and Mostert and some other stuff.
Thank you. And no Saquon. Oh God, I'm good.
Right. So while making our three bets for the week, let's keep in mind our three commandments. No betting on games that involve Phil Rivers. For the record, he's favored by 11 points over the Jets. That's way too fucking much. I can't wait to hear which way you're betting on this. number two, no betting on Falcons games whatsoever.
No, I'm kidding.
And on that note, why are the 0-2 Falcons favored by 4 over the 2-0 Bears? Can someone explain that to me? I'm not really sure. And lastly, do not bet against Lamar Jackson.
Do not bet against Lamar Jackson. That is very true. And that's why I will not be going against it this week, Noel. My first bet is not what you think. It is the Ravens-Chiefs over, however. Over 53.5 on Monday night. The Ravens have scored 38 and 33 in each of their first two games. The Chiefs have scored 34 and 23. Even their lowest scoring outputs so far put them over. I'm rooting for what is fun. This will be a fun Monday night game. Let's enjoy it. I just want to see the over.
Love the pick. And that's why... on my first pick, I broke rule number one. I'm taking Chiefs plus 3 at the Ravens is my first bet. It seemed like the Chiefs just totally overlooked the Chargers. They were definitely looking ahead to this Ravens game.
It's a trap game. The Chargers is always a trap game.
Trap game. It's a division opponent. Yep. Chiefs beat Houston by 14. Ravens beat Houston by 17. So you got a little comparison there. They're pretty evenly matched teams in that regard. It's going to be a great game. I think you got some Mahomes MVP revenge going here. And also the Chiefs have won 3 straight against Baltimore. So they've been owning them lately. One of the only two games Baltimore lost in the regular season last season. So I'm not... we could maybe look at the over. I want to tease them up to plus 9? Kind of, maybe.
Interested. Definitely interested.
That'd be fun to tease the over. And then that's teasing that to make it you want a close game. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else? What else you got?
All right. So next, you did touch on it, and you are correct. The Jets plus 10.5 at the Colts.
Mm.
I do not trust Phil to cover a spread that large. Mm-hmm. There is just nothing in life. Especially against bad teams, he seems to play down a level. There's never been a time when you're like watching Phil Rivers like, oh, they're going to get it done today.
So you're taking the Jets, the team that we agree is consensus the worst team in the league.
Correct.
Okay. Plus 10.5 against Phil Rivers.
That is correct.
If I had a gun to my head, or maybe like two guns to my head, I would definitely take the Jets in this game. So I don't hate the pick, but I will not even consider betting on this game. I'm out on betting Phil Rivers games, and I also want the Jets to go like 0-16, so I'm not
fair. Fair.
All right, I'm going back to the well for my second pick. The Alarm, LA Rams, it's plus 2 now at the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I think, now hear me out on this, I think Alarm in Gund.
Fair. I think I'm ready to be wrong on this one too.
Okay, the Bills are 2-0. They beat the Jets by 10, so literally less than what the fucking Colts are favored over them now. And they beat the Dolphins last week by 3. Everyone's trying to crown Josh Allen as an MVP candidate and shit. Let's pump the brakes. They beat 2 of the 4 worst teams in the league.
Keep in mind, he is leading the league in passing right now.
Against 2 of the 2 worst teams in the league. I'm 2-0 so far this year betting the Rams as underdogs. They were underdogs to the Cowboys. They won outright. Underdogs to the Eagles. Well, on and off. and won outright. I'm going back. I love it. I'm betting their money line. And I actually put it, as soon as I saw it, they were plus three when it first came out, and I sprinkled a little bit on there because I knew it was going to go back down. So
smart.
I also like, on that note, last week I won some money on the NFC Do It For The West parlay. All four big NFC West teams winning. I like that again at 5-1. You got Zona at Detroit, Seattle versus Cowboys, Larm at Bills, and Niners versus the Giants. So, anyway.
Okay, okay.
Just a thought. I may not
Yeah, that brings me to my third game, which is the Detroit Lions plus 5.5 points. At some points, the Lions are not going to blow a lead, and I think that might be this week. This is a young, the Cardinals are a young team that has won two exciting games.
Yep.
There's going to be a little come to earth moment at some point. Yeah. I think that they could, obviously, they could easily win. I'm not saying that the Lions are an awesome team that's going to crush them, but the Lions have hung tough in both of their games, and they've had tough losses. And I just, Matt Stafford pulls out a win like this every year, and I just, I think that this might be the week.
Yeah, it feels like these teams could both easily be 1-1, and if they were both 1-1, this would probably be a 3-point line, right?
Agreed. Yes. So I'm just taking, a line that I think is too high.
I definitely don't hate it, and I think you talked me off of the Do It For The West parlay. Mm-hmm. Next. My last pick, I'm going the Green Bay Packers plus three at the Saints. I like all the I think this is the week of the dog. We just had the week of the favorite. There's a lot of small lines out there. There's a lot of teams that are pretty evenly matched, and they're still giving 3 points to the home teams. I meant to look up what the record was for home and away for against the spread so far. But the Saints, there's no fans. They're not going to have their gigantic home field advantage. Breeze looks kind of cooked. Thomas is either out or hobbled, and Rodgers has been awesome, as we thought he might be. Aaron Jones has been awesome. That team looks great. Feels like the Packers, at the very least, should be a pick 'em against the Saints. So I guess if you're giving them 3 points for a non-existent home field advantage, I like the points there.
I like this one, too. Okay. I very much considered it, and I totally agree with you. The Saints looked a little cooked on Monday night. I'm not sure what was going on there. They could... It's just a part of it's just a funky game against, you know, a Raiders team that was playing their first game at home in a brand new city. That's there's some weird air in there. But I don't know about giving Aaron Rodgers 3 points against a team that just lost. It's just it seems weird.
Yep. Okay. We're in agreement then. Good that he lives there then.
Good that he lives there then.
And lastly, Coin, it is time for the Gucci Mane dog picks of the week.
Dog. Wait, what's the noise?
We can either give a Gucci, or we can give a or we can give a burr.
Oh yeah, burr.
Ooh, that one hurt my throat.
Yeah, I bet it did.
All right. Last week, I had the Falcons. We've gone into this at length. It was a brutal loss.
Yeah.
Coin had the Vikings.
It was a bad pick.
Another brutal loss. So both of us 0-1. So on the year, we're just counting winning weeks. That's it. So it's me 1, Coin 0.
True.
Our records for the record, I am 1-1 straight up, 2-0 against the spread. Coin 0-2 and 0-2. Time to bounce back, Coin.
Time to bounce back. And is it my pick first?
I think it is, yes.
It is my pick first, and I do actually believe I'm going to be stealing this one from you. So the team I'm picking against has been a darling for me this year.
Okay.
I'm going to be picking the Houston Texans, who are 4-point dogs to the Steelers. After just playing possibly the best two teams in the league in back-to-back weeks and getting smacked, I don't think this team goes 0-3. Steelers looked pretty good against two very bad teams. And I know that Houston doesn't have an O-line, but I think Deshaun can manufacture something beautiful here.
I really, really like that pick. I considered it very much, and I will likely be jumping on that with you.
Okay.
For my Gucci Mane dog pick of the week, a lot of options out there. I like a lot of these games. And I'm going to go with my heart over my head on this one and take the Washington football team plus 7.
I love it.
at the Cleveland Browns. In all reality, we have one of the best front sevens in the league. Chase Young tied for the lead league in sacks. He's been awesome. He's the highest graded rookie so far. Baker Mayfield's number one issue is when he's getting pressured, he panics. He gets a little fidgety in the pocket. He makes bad decisions. I think that's actually going to happen. It's really just a matter of if Haskins can make some plays, which he hasn't done so far. But I think he can. But more importantly, I will be at the game.
Oh,
that's right, folks. Of the, I believe, six NFL teams currently allowing fans in the stands, the Cleveland Browns are one of them. Katie and I will be driving a nice 6-hour drive from Chicago over to Cleveland, and we will be attending. We will be one of the, I think, 6,000 fans in attendance. Thankfully, the winnings I've procured over the last 2 weeks made it much more easy to stomach the cost of these tickets.
I'm jealous. I'm glad that you're going to go. This is a cool thing. Like, I feel like you're going to be talking about this in the future. Like, I actually went to a game in the quarantine.
Two aspects of it. Number one, I went to, like, there's going to be very few people that can say they ever went to a game for the Washington football team.
Right.
Right? Because they're only going to go to probably 2 or 3 games this year that they allow fans, and then next year they're going to have a different name. So that's part of it. But then also, yeah, just how few people are even going to get to go to a football game this year. So cool to be part of history in that regard. We're going to definitely keep our masks on and keep our distance from folks. But I feel like it should be pretty easy in a giant stadium.
I'm excited to hear about like how what it sounds like in there.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know if stadiums that have some fans, if they then supplement it with fan noise.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they don't.
Probably do.
But, oh, you don't think they so? Do? Oh, okay. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
I bet the Washington football team's going to be like, holy shit, there's a lot of people here.
Do you think there's going to be exactly zero other Washington fans there?
Yes, I sure do.
I'm excited. It could be the lowest amount of fans for a team ever NFL stadium.
Which is noted, like, I'm into that. Very much into being the fan of the other teams. So.
And there won't be, we'll have lots of elbow room, so won't we have to be banging
where
shoulders.
Where are your seats at? Good seats?
They're not great. They're in the corner, but I purpose, like, the majority of the seats that they have open are really close to the field, and I kind of wanted to be a little higher up just to get a better vantage point. I feel like some of the ones, like, in the center of the field that are, quote-unquote, like, the best seats, like, if you're, like, 10 rows up, I just don't think you can see the game that well when it's in the corners. Right. So we'll see. I mean, I got the cheapest ones. So
gotcha.
But the whole upper deck's closed off, so it's 100 level in the corner, basically. That's probably tight. Similar to where we went for the Skins.
Okay.
It would be like up maybe 20 rows from your Seattle seats, maybe, I would think.
Okay.
Okay.
That'd be cool. We'll see. That'd be good. Yeah.
Exciting. So anyway, roll DC TBD, as I like to call them. The X-Skins.
Of course, roll Zans. I will be betting against one AFC South team and on one. So I don't listen to our rules whatsoever.
No, and I'll be betting against Lamar. So we're just really bad at this. Maybe we should bet on the Falcons.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Okay. That has been a nice, crisp, hour-long episode of The Rookie Show. You can follow us at Rookie Show Pod on Twitter. Where can they follow you, Coin?
You can follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at The Cream Filling on Twitter. You can follow me at C Travis Knoll on Instagram. The C, of course, stands for Kruntsack.
Oh, yes. A great Hoopfest team.
The Kruntsacks were. What were we? Did we win any games? We won
I
some
think we
games.
Won a game.
We won some
we
games.
Won a game.
That's gonna do it. Play us out, Tech Nine.
Oh, sick. Kick it back to grade school. I love it.
Hell yeah. All right. All right. Bad seed, untamable. Everybody around me always think they know what's going on inside my mind. Think I'm Mr. Nice Guy all the time. I didn't say I'll die real young, you think you know? But you have no idea. I'm from your home. Get 50, must make more dough. I can smell your woman's rosy punani on the dance floor all the way in VIP. I'm a rapper, I can snatch her, and she will leave with me because of my stature. Now everybody move, everybody bounce, whoever the Nina choose, we about to pounce. Work it out.
with the 151 in the bottle. I call here fully, let me hit this model in the grotto. I like all women, tall women, and small women. You got to let techniques tease your chakra. Species release, freaks please the monster. Petite beast feast, these G's will rock ya. Handcuff a buster, don't trust her. Round these hustlers, homie, don't be a sucker. When your lover say Tekkenina's a brother, she trying to say that I rushed her, then crushed her. Handcuff your hoe, get 50, must make more dough. Shaking your flow, come against me, that's a no-no. Yo, cause I'm a beast. I'm no hoe, get 50, must make more dough. We will be shaking your flow, come against me, that's a no-no.
I'm about to get that money like a robbery. Now I got it, all my enemies wanna clobber me. Squalor be harder, we need dollars, camaraderie. The hotter the scholar be, the larger the lottery. Need yen, tens, twins, gotta succeed. Spin, G's, Ben, Franks. We gram cheese in banks. Breathe and we win thanks. Hungry like the wolf in need, but I give money to my cooks in need. I live in Sherman Oaks, but from Kansas City. I miss home, Cali is business, but man, it's pretty. I ain't lying, y'all. Monster for money for mine, y'all. If I wasn't getting money, I'd do time, dog. You never see the nine fall big house. Wood floors made, cleaning the bitches with pine saw.
Handcuff your hoe, get 50, must make more dough. We will be shaking your flow. Come against me, that's a no-no. Yo, cause I'm a beast. Handcuff your hoe, make more dough. We will be shaking your flow. Come against me, that's a no-no. Yo, cause I'm a beast.
Friend, this industry is no kin to me. Behold the flow of the century. But they scared of me. Rappers, they don't compare to me. Fair to be said that he dares to be sincerely a rarity. Check the sound scan. Look around, man. Wake up, look at your Jacob, you and killer clown land. Face paint and juggalettes with bubble butts. And we rockin' for Zedini women in the button-ups. Hands down, we rock harder than Kiss, but rap me cutting crisp. So can I get two stumps and a clap in this bitch? Need a shot to the top, cause the plot's to get rich. Tell ya, executives, I'm next for this. Success it is, yet the best for tech. This ain't Baptist, Pentecostal, or Methodist. This is the beast, baby, out, I mean Exodus.
I'm in, and I will destroy you. I am the bitch. I'm your hope. Get 50, must make more dough. We will be shaking your flow. Come against me, that's a no-no.
Music.